Welcome back to the show. Now, do you guys notice anything different? That's right. We have undergone a rebrand. This show will no longer be called New Rockstars News, but will instead be called The New Rockstars Debrief. Because that's what we do on this show every week, right? We debrief you on the week's important stuff. And if you look closely, there's an important Easter egg in that title. So leave your guesses in the comments below what that Easter egg is.
No one's wearing pants. We all debriefed.
But we boxered in some cases. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about a juicy Avengers Endgame theory, a new tidbit about the Shazam villain, and some updates on the future of Harley Quinn and Deadpool.
Yeah, Puddin.
I'm Eric Voss, and joining me today are Sam Basher and Maude Garrett.
Hello. Hello. This is Sam. Welcome.
Did you always talk like that?
I did because of a new announcement for the show.
All right, maybe I'll sound like this from now on then. Hello, it's Maude Garrett. Maybe I could even be American for the first time.
Wow.
What does everyone think about
that? That was such a smooth transition mid-sentence.
Thank you.
Go in and out of that.
Where's that person from? What part of the country is she from?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked because
I'm thinking suburban New Jersey.
From suburban New Jersey. That's right.
For just a moment there, we were in Sopranos there. But anyway, some other, another big news, guys, big news. The show is finally a podcast.
Yes.
Well, some of you may already know that because you're listening to us rather than like watching us. But you can find the podcast version of this show on the Himalaya app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. That said, we would love it if you got it from the Himalaya app as they helped us get this audio version off the ground. You can also like, follow, and leave comments there. Get personal curated playlists and leave us a tip if you're happy with your service. All right, it sounds good.
Make sure you tip your waiters.
Mm-hmm. Always tip. Let's get started with the news from this week. We came across a new theory about Avengers Endgame on Reddit this week from user coolest_breezy, and it could be a major game changer for this final Avengers chapter. Maybe final, we'll see. The theory suggests that at some point in the movie, the Avengers will have to appeal to the Living Tribunal. Now, that is a powerful cosmic being in the comics.
For scale, you can just see how big he is because he doesn't have indigestion. If you look below that, he's three little people.
Yeah. It's funny you should mention the word scale because the Living Tribunal's role is to judge the universe keep the balance in check.
Depending on the writer, the multiverse too. He's juggling a lot of hats.
This universe and all infinite universes. Now, in the comics, if you read the Infinity Gauntlet storyline, they actually go to Living Tribunal to try to get the Living Tribunal to judge or prosecute Thanos. Mm-hmm. But the Living Tribunal recuses itself from this process, saying that Thanos didn't break any laws of the universe.
It's fair game. Because I'm no police officer, but
Mephisto would agree with you.
That's a lot of murder.
A lot of murder. But I guess survival of the fittest. It's Darwin said it's okay. Take it up with the Living Tribunal.
They didn't die. They just disappeared.
Now, it does make sense.
It's
not fair. It's really not. It does make sense that the character would need to get involved after Thanos made such a drastic change to this universe, of course. But would the Living Tribunal be able to undo the snap? Is that in their power skill set? Could the Avengers really even ask for that? Would they need to convince Thanos to make the request? That's probably the most interesting thing here, is this would be a bigger threat or a bigger force beyond Thanos that they'd have to go approach. So would they need to present the united front with the previous villain, with Thanos, to convince him that his snap was a bad thing? And that's one part of the challenge.
So they'd need Thanos as an ally.
Right.
All of this.
I mean, Thanos was arguably the protagonist or the hero of Infinity War.
He
was the most active
character
of his own story. Will they build on that and make him the character they have to get on board with to go talk to some higher power beyond Thanos, to the Living Tribunal?
This is just great theory. I really love that you're delving deep here and predicting what could happen and what a fix and solution could be. But when you look at entertainment and what is entertaining, going to a judge in a universe's courtroom doesn't sound like fun.
Oh, come on. John Grisham has made a lot of books that made one good movie.
Yes, of course. Is that The Net? Shout out to The Net from Sandra Bullock. What a good one.
That was a Grisham?
Is that Grisham? Probably not. Anyways, I also agree with Maude that this is a bit of snooze fest. But I wouldn't mind having this character show up because they already mentioned him in Doctor Strange, which is pretty cool. That they had like a staff to like, this is the staff of the Living Tribunal, which is like saying this paperclip once belonged to David Bowie. It's like, Yeah. Okay. Like, that doesn't.
Sick.
Yeah, wait, really. Cool. One of Bowie's paper clips.
No way. Oh, it's like, this stick belonged to the judge of the multiverse. And he's like, what do you do with it? It's like, he made it longer or shorter. And it's like, okay. It's cool as a visual to see something like that cosmic, and like the scale of it is very cool. So if you want something to match the scale of snapping out half of the universe, cool character to pick. But also, it's like, I like the idea of having to convince Thanos. It's like, hey, you may have blown it, dude. Yeah. Like, I mean, is you might not really? Be able to get her back. You might need to move on and maybe, you know, fix, just try to make amends.
I do like the idea of the Avengers and Thanos being on the same side. So it's no longer a war between them, and there's some kind of greater problem that they have to confront together. This theory, while it's fascinating, reminds me a lot of the architect in the Matrix Reloaded, right? That okay. fascinating Act 3 yeah. Scene that lasted for 12 minutes with a lot of big, screens. Complicated words. A lot of screens, a lot of conversation, and a lot of inactivity. Mm-hmm. And that would be my concern if that... I mean, there are ways you can make this an active thing. That's just like the debate they're having while they're fighting on a rooftop somewhere.
Yeah. Wow.
fighting on a rooftop is always the best way to end a movie. But I think there's a reason why the comic storyline doesn't really have this. Like, the Living Tribunal recuses himself because that would be too easy of a fix if you just had some cosmic entity decide to flip a switch and that's how the story gets resolved.
I'm sorry. Click, you have a problem with that when all Thanos did was click? Mm-hmm. Really? And now you don't like a
Have you tried
switch?
To snap with a metal gauntlet on before? There's no, you can't bend.
No, I
you don't have
haven't.
The angles. It's not easy.
And you gotta get your kid's attention. Can't do it.
That's
when you shout, you start an avalanche, and you got a whole different problem.
And then everyone gets brushed down to the resort, and we sit around the fire and have cocoa. I don't like skiing.
How are we here now? How did we get right here?
I bet you Iron Man's asking the same thing.
Yeah. How did we get here with the MCU, right? Yeah. It started with a couple simple origin stories fighting in city blocks, and now we're fighting for the fate of the universe.
I will say, like when you go big cosmic, that's always some really fun stories. Like Eternity over there with his... space pajamas on. Big fan of him.
I want to make a clothing line like range that. Like that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the Living Tribunal is fun. He's cut, man. He's been hitting the gym. He's been hitting those bars.
Where are his
pants? Yeah, where are his pants? Where's everything
else?
Is that
the Easter egg? He's debriefed.
But as like a character, I like the character or the choice of showing that like he's a three-headed being. One of his faces is covered. One is partially covered. One's fully seeing because he's trying to be impartial, get every side to it. He's listening. Mm-hmm. He's speaking, seeing, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Just Google it. Google the Living Tribunal. I hear Living Tribunal and I hear when boring storylines happen to good movie franchises. Yeah. I think Trade Federation. Mm-hmm. I think the prequels of the Star Wars. It's
well, you got to be careful with like, I think, you know, I do improv and there's always an instinct to tag into a courtroom scene and everyone thinks, oh, it'd be so funny to put this person on trial in this moment. And as soon as we all get to that scene, it gets real boring because you realize someone has to be the stenographer. Someone has to sit and be the judge. Someone has to be the jury. And then everyone has to join in and everyone gets stuck in it forever. We realize the only person who can make good courtroom drama scripts, there's like Aaron Sorkin where people are screaming at each other, or like for 2 minutes in a good episode of Law and Order SVU.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the only place where I want to see
it is about 2 minutes in SVU. They do not spend a lot of time there, even though the lawyers are main characters.
Yeah, it's just Ice-T just like repeating.
Wait, you're
what
telling
the,
me that someone
this
who
guy's
steals
into little girls
is a thief? Yeah.
What? Mulaney has a great bit on this is like the first time Ice-T has heard of pedophilia before. Wait a minute. What? So they have to be like, yes, Ice-T. Yes, he has pictures that are illegal. But I think this might be one of the because comics things that might just be left alone in the comics.
Well,
it's hard to depict in a movie.
There's no Captain Marvel
right.
in this whole thing, is there? Where does she fit in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's all powerful, right? You don't need Living Tribunal.
Exactly.
Let's make her the villain.
I like scale. I think that's a fun... I will say the scale of these characters is fun, but you can hit a point where you can't connect with them anymore, and it's like talking someone yelling at a tidal wave, and so that's not great. I mean, it's sometimes fun,
but if we are going to bring back a giant villain, it's going to be Galactus.
There you go.
That's the way to
go.
That's
the one I want to see. Mm-hmm. Why destroy half the population when you can eat a planet?
Devour.
Guys, I'm getting some good feelings about Galactus coming in because they Kevin Feige just mentioned Galactus at the red carpet. Mm-hmm. Galactus made a cameo in Adam McKay's movie Vice, where like
Galactus did.
Yeah, he compared Dick Cheney to Galactus, Devourer of Worlds. Mm-hmm. But in order to get that reference, apparently they had to go through Feige to get him to sign off on it, which I think is interesting because it's still currently a Fox Marvel property. Why would they go through Feige for it if unless
we're going to see the Silver Surfer is what you're trying to tell me. That's
Silver
what's just
Surfer,
happening there.
Shortly after.
And that is the debrief. That's Easter egg. Because
he got debriefed.
Have you ever seen Silver Surfer wear
pants? Debrief. Yeah.
No.
He doesn't need them.
Doesn't need them in space.
No.
He's good to go.
We got to see a good version of Galactus,
smooth
right?
All over.
Rise of the Silver Surfer really just made him a cloud, an impersonal cloud.
Don't talk about
need,
space cloud.
I need that turtleneck sweater. I
want
need
that
purple
big antler helmet that he's got.
He's just a hungy boy. That's all he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's weird to see this Deus Ex Machina divine intervention. You got to be really careful about how you bring it into a story. Like, I don't know, do you guys read the Animorphs series? The
goodness,
K.A. Applegate?
No.
Oh, I did. I love those books. But there are these cosmic deities called, like, the Elemist and the Krayak. I might be mispronouncing it because I just read it. But there
three
are these...
people are really mad at that.
Or some one person's really excited that I brought it up. They're these, like, they're gods, basically. They're gods in the universe of the Animorphs. And they start picking sides in the war between the Animorphs and the Yurks. And there's some crazy stories where they basically pick champions to fight to see if they can win their weird chess game between each other, and it took me out. I'm glad that didn't become a regular thing, but the Elemist keeps coming back, and it maybe kind of worked in the books. It wouldn't work in the TV or movie adaptation of Animorphs that needs to happen. Let's get on this, right?
That's right, damn straight.
We
need
Power
some people
Rangers
turning into animals
movies.
Slowly.
There you go.
You know what? It's great, and Cassie makes it beautiful, and the rest should be ugly. I want to see an ugly morph into animals.
Yeah, go for it. And also, this, I think, honestly, just like slight side note, some people want to make some...
After that huge side note.
It's like when people want to make a Sandman movie, Neil Gaiman's like Vertigo comic, because they make a whole new category for those characters, and they're the Endless, and they're these like just like concepts of like one's death, one's dream, one's desires, one's this, and it's just like, oh, I can't even begin to try to imagine you trying to make a 2.5-hour movie
you just
out of something
them.
This big. You would they do in the story, but also they have like this scale to them that's like they're endless. That's the point of them, that they like they have personalities, but kind of not, because they're just kind of like an idea.
I feel personally attacked about scale. I mean, I'm 5'11", but I manage to joke from time to time. Why you gotta bring me into this, dude?
Well, because you never give me piggyback rides.
It's because your skin's so scaly.
I did not expect that. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, great concepts don't always make great characters in movies. I think that's one thing to keep in mind. Though it could appear and it could be awesome. And
but
I don't
keep those theories coming.
Yeah, yeah. I never would have thought Thanos snapping away half the universe would make sense in a movie, and they made it work. So.
They made it work. Yeah. But hey, that Living Tribunal better be cut. He better be freaking shredded, like for sure.
Yeah,
like Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, like
doing
times
that
two.
Giant
floppy
step.
Blue. Yeah.
How do you do? You know what? Let's move on to this week's trivia question, ooh, shall we, gang? If you guys are new here, we ask a trivia question once a week. Winner gets to be the king of the show. They get to eat all the food and the scrumptious treats.
That's
but the
true.
Loser has to humiliate themselves with the gift of shame. Give a shame. No one said the reverberation. And shout out, who's this young chap that made this
for Travis.
Us?
Oh, Travis Cadle.
Yes, for the listeners,
what
of course.
A man.
Yes.
We've got a delightful box with fun little knickknacks on it, which you can see the result of on our Twitter at New Rockstars. But yes, we're going to be asking a trivia question. We're going to write the answer, and we'll figure out who's going to have to pull an embarrassing act out of the GIF of Shame box and perform in front of all of us for us to giggle, and who will be the king with all the treats. All right, first up, listen to this one, kids. Which of these three quotes are from the Living Tribunal?
Which four. Of the four?
Which of the three these quotes? Which of these quotes are from the Living Tribunal?
There's four options. We have to figure out which one.
That's
He's
right.
Actually, from the Living Tribunal.
Yes.
Comic.
All of our favorite characters, the Living
Why
Tribunal.
Why would you do that to me?
No. All right. First up, A. We are an impossibility in an impossible universe.
What?
B. Power is meaningless beyond this level of existence. C. The universe is under no obligation to make sense to you. And D, those who want to live, let them fight. And those who do not want to fight in this world of eternal struggle do not deserve to live. That's a yikes from me on that last one.
Oh my
one.
Goodness.
So one more time, which of these quotes are from the Living Tribunal? A, we are an impossibility in an impossible universe. B, power is meaningless beyond this level of existence. C, the universe is under no obligation to make sense to you. And D, those who want to live, let them fight. And those who do not want to fight in a world of eternal struggle do not deserve to live. that's a yikes for me, but also Living Tribunal is sometimes a yikes character. So go ahead and write, that's A, B, C, or D, just to make it a little bit easier on yourselves. Or 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, that's it for the trivia, gang. I made that as hard as possible for everyone.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg, and who are you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Good game, Sam.
All right, Sam.
Good game.
Good game. May I?
We'll keep this game going. Tell us about what's going on with Shazam.
Man, I'm so excited for this movie. Shazam is going to be a blast because we got a teaser this week and made me just giddy. And that movie's coming up fast. It comes out April 5th of 2019. And along with the teaser, yes, I'm close with the date.
2019.
Pretty close. And along with the teaser that Eric went way too into in his breakdown on our YouTube channel, a bunch of interviews with the cast and crew dropped this week. Very exciting. We, of course, read them all very closely, and one thing jumped out. In an interview with Mark Strong, one of my favorite actors, an actor who's playing Dr. Thaddeus Sivana, the bad guy in this film, he said this when talking about his character's powers. He gets to fly, he can create electrical fields with his hands and fire electricity. Ooh. I love the whole notion that in his eye, he has seven sins that manifest themselves at various Ooh. Points whenever they or he Ooh. Wants them to.
Now we got the seven sins?
The seven deadly sins.
What are they again?
Oh, there you go.
Gluttony.
Pride.
Lust. Sloth.
Dancer. Prancer. Vixen. Rudolph.
Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box.
That's the ninth
that's one
least important reindeer.
Envy.
There it is. Wrath.
Envy's up there. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Wrath. There it is. Yes, of course. Now, we got introduced to the sins in the most recent trailer, but it was really quick. We can see that Billy is sinning by some statues that kind of look like gargoyle-y.
Great
Big fan of that show.
Cartoon.
It's a great, that's a good show. Those right there, thems you have them, those are them. But I don't think we knew that they were going to be living in Dr. Sivana's eye.
Yeah, that's new.
Any thoughts on how this is going to work, gang?
Okay, so if there's two gargoyles that live within his eye, this is, I'm getting very...
There's seven
in there, but the gargoyles. Okay, so with the gargoyles, do you remember Flotsam and Jetsam?
Oh, you asked this
earlier. Flotsam, Jetsam, now I've got her, boys. The boss is on a roll. That's all I'm singing. That's all you get.
It's from, easy. This is from Hocus Pocus.
The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, it's the Little Mermaid.
Yeah,
it's Ursula.
The eels
that she controls. Is this going to be like that? Is that like the gargoyles?
Oh, they can do her. Oh, yeah. Yes. That's interesting. So, like, these things can pop out and deploy them out in the world.
With the eye.
Yeah. In the comics, they've been imprisoned in stone, like we see them here, but by Shazam the Wizard. He's the one who imprisoned them thousands of years ago.
It's not Shazam Zach Levi.
No. Yes. Usually he goes by the name just the Wizard, but originally, when Shazam was Captain Marvel, the wizard got the name Shazam. So Shazam, the wizard has the power of Shazam, who gives it to Shazam, aka Captain Marvel.
This is like Aquaman, where everyone is named some version of Atlan something.
Atlan, Atlanta. The most confusing sentence you've said.
Thank you.
It's a roundabout one.
Yeah.
But this like Pandora opened the box and these seven deadly sins got out thousands of years ago, and then they hunted them down and then he encased them in stone. Mm-hmm. But now it's sounding like they got out again, or maybe they're changing that to where it was young Sivana who did that.
Since this is based on the the New 52 run, which is such a good storyline for Shazam, but it's clearly they're kind of revamping it a little bit. In that comic, Savannah accidentally lets Black Adam out, and he's a nightmare, and that's what allows his eye to turn all blue, because he can now see magic and understand what magic means in the like,
Black
tomes.
Adam is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He is. Yeah. That's why I'm so like, excited. There's no way we're not going to see him, in at least in a post-credit scene in this movie, but they also work with the Seven Deadly Sins and release them out into the world. But in that story, the Seven Deadly Sins take over one like avatar, like this one evil dude in the town, and he becomes like this giant demon, which is really fun. So if you want to just kind of streamline all that into one character, good call. And it's cool that they manifest themselves whenever they or he wants them to, so that they kind of are actually in the driver's seat, even though he feels like he is not really.
It kind of feels like demonic possession, right? Like he's got these seven demonic entities that can pop out of his eye and infect something else. I wonder if they're tying it in, like in the comics, the New 52 comics, that eye helps him see like hidden magic that no one else can.
Oh, yeah.
What if he's able to see like the presence of envy in someone and use that to manipulate. Like it's about perception.
It. Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Like he's got like a 3D spec glass. And yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he can influence people.
Yeah. And use that to manipulate people.
That's super
like,
cool.
You're a lustful person. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we can do with
we'll
this.
Use you as a seductress.
That feels pretty evil. Feels
what
pretty
happens if in, we get a post credit scene and it is Black Adam, but the same fate happens as Deathstroke in the, Justice League post credit scene. And we don't hear from him or see him
yet
ever again.
It could.
It works. Maybe.
Time will tell. Time will tell.
Someday.
I feel like it's going to happen. I would love a tease like that. And I like the idea that like it kind of seems like a symbiote with the demons, like the seven deadly sins within him. And I'd like to see them manifest through him differently, because Mark Strong is such a strong.
That's a more joke.
Actor. Thank you. Appreciate it. No, I'd like to see him kind of like in a Venom or like Upgrade kind of style of like, like personifying these like the most extreme version of wrath or greed or lust. Lust would be a weird one. Or gluttony. I would like to see stuff, something like that.
Yeah, imagine being the person who has to carry the source of all these seven deadly sins that are out around the world. You carry the source of these monsters inside you at all times.
You'd probably be a bad person.
Yeah, in seven different particular ways.
And you'd be proud of it.
You have to carry that burden everywhere you go.
It.
And angry and a bit envious for people who don't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
wrathful.
It would be cool to see the different ways that can manifest. Yes. And Mark Strong's a very talented actor. I could see him playing all seven of those different things in interesting ways.
It's his version of Split. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
but seven instead of 20.
I'm extremely excited for this movie and the addition of the seven deadly sins. All you got to do is this one movie with them and never touch them again. DC tried to make them more important and literally they whiffed it hard in the comics. So leave it to them. Let us know what you guys think in the comments down below, because I'm excited for this movie and I want it to be good.
Can be really great.
Stop it.
We're doing an album later. Don't spoil it.
Well, some other stuff came out this week about Deadpool, right?
Oh,
that's
very exciting.
It. Now, the original plan for Deadpool was apparently to release the X-Force movie from writer and director Drew Goddard next, and then have Deadpool 3 following, you know, the whole Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Avengers Iron Man 3 model.
Oh, yeah, okay.
According to the writer Rhett Reese, that's what he was saying the whole theory was. But just a few weeks ago, we heard reports that the X-Force movie was a no-go due to the Disney-Fox merger. So the fate of the X-Force movie is now unclear. Oh. How do you feel about that?
That's kind of a bummer. I like Drew Goddard, man. Everything that guy makes is awesome.
Maybe he shouldn't. He can't touch Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Daredevil. You should have just finished Daredevil, man. You blew it.
Oh, well.
No, you're great. You're very talented.
Do you think he got cursed because he walked away from it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Maybe. Hey, anyway, at an event in China a few days ago, though, the Deadpool star himself and producer Ryan Reynolds gave a loaded update about Deadpool 3. He said, "My team." Hold on. "My team is already at work on Deadpool 3. But looking to go in a completely different direction. Often they reboot or change a character maybe like four movies too late."
Okay.
Was that like asterisk, say something funny?
No, he would have said something funny then if it was really Ryan Reynolds.
Gotcha.
He would have said a quip.
Oh,
I didn't have it. Uh-huh. I was trying to impersonate him.
There you go. Pretty good.
Thank you for my asterisk and understanding it. So basically they're saying that they're not going to do what a lot of movie franchises do.
Yeah.
They're going to pivot.
Pivot.
What do you think's going to happen with Deadpool 3? Since I already thought that Deadpool 2 was quite different enough from the original one?
It was pretty different. I think Ryan
they had
Reynolds.
A kid.
They had a kid. They brought in a foul-mouthed kid. I think Ryan Reynolds brings up a good point that they do wait too long. They wait till they beat a version of a character to death until they decide to reset it. I don't know what other directions you. Because right now, like two movies in.
I don't think they're forming patterns yet.
Right. Yeah. Two line or two points make a line, but not a pattern. You need three to make a pattern.
Yeah.
Do a trilogy. Well, maybe he doesn't necessarily mean like. A whole new version of Deadpool. Maybe it means like rather than a big team up movie, which is what the X-Force is going to be, adding more and more characters, it could have just been a simple, smaller story.
They're getting rid of TJ Miller. Read between the lines, guys.
Oh, true.
Yeah, but is that a major reset? It kind of seems like that was on the wall anyway.
He wasn't really integral to the second one, but he did have a big role in that one, though.
Yeah.
But I think they reduced it considerably since TJ's been in some hot water.
This is
a pretty good way to say. That characters, we don't want to overuse them, so maybe we'll
that
just
might be
freshen
something
it up.
They're doing with everybody, though. Like maybe less Dupinder, less Vanessa, less.
No, don't
like,
say
what I'm thinking is maybe they might do something like Logan, just him and the kid in the woods somewhere, and that's the new version.
Oh my God. Okay, so here you go. It's Deadpool's Logan, it's Wade, whatever you want to call it, who cares? And it's end of the world, all the X-Men are dead, but it's just like him, long beard, like crazy apocalypse. It's not like dystopian America. It's like wasteland. Like everything's desert. We have to trade soda with, I don't know, radioactive jewels or.
I love it.
Well, you know, video
it.
Game logic.
Yeah.
There you go. And teaming up with the young girl, and then they time travel back and reset the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, what? Deadpool's perfectly set up to go crazy and to like do full on parody movies that aren't necessarily. Because if you think both of his movies are parodies of superhero movies. Why not do a parody of another genre? Do that parody of a rom-com that the first Deadpool promised it was going to be.
I loved the romance moments. And then Vanessa was hardly in the second one. Mm-hmm. And I felt that. They tried to do a compilation group instead, and they didn't even last long either.
He got to go to heaven, though, a couple times.
Yay.
Some pretty music.
To heaven.
What was your idea that you went about?
He can't die. I didn't even put that together in my brain that he has the ultra healing ability, so he can outlive everyone else in his life, kind of like Logan.
He's got the healing collar on, which is the only way he could get through.
Really good MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Buddy cop drama with him and Hugh Jackman. All right, I'm done.
There you go.
I think you solved it. I think that's the new direction they should go.
It's the best thing
in.
I've ever said in my life. I thought there'd be a bigger reaction, personally.
we're so shocked. We're so stunned. We're speechless.
Together.
Yeah, there it is. Put it all together. Coming up, we're going to reveal the answer to our trivia question, catch you guys up on the rest of the week's news, including DC's plans for a surprise new movie trilogy. Ooh, not as fun as this trilogy is right here.
In other news, we've got our first look at John Cryer, a.k.a. the nerdy one from 2.5 Men, as Lex Luthor in
Ooh.
Supergirl, the CW hit. For our audio listeners, he looks like John Cryer, but bald and wearing a jumpsuit. It is a statement.
You can't say John Cryer without cry.
A little bit. I'll be honest, you got a point there. Sometimes you just never know how big a person's head is. Anyways, they also in the news announced a sequel to Bumblebee. As Mod mentioned earlier, the best of the Transformers franchise. It was actually very good.
Sixth time is a charm?
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
Well, so this is the franchise that they
wanted
to death. Mm-hmm. And didn't change and resurrect the character. So Ryan Reynolds hates Transformers.
Whoa, confirmed.
Yeah. Yep.
Also, a Harley Quinn trilogy is rumored to be in the works because
trilogy.
Of course it is. Yeah. And someone dug up some old Justice League concept art pieces that show off an early version of Aquaman's suit that were closer to the character's look in the comics.
Is this it?
Is he blonde?
Pretty cool.
We're seeing a picture here.
Yes, we're seeing
like
a picture.
Of course.
Still not blonde, though, is he?
Still not blonde, but if for the audio listeners, it's the green bottoms, orange top, all the scales that a young boy could ever want for his clothes, which is very fun.
Yeah.
Very good.
How many scales does a boy want?
I
don't think you're ready for this scaly.
Not, but what I am ready for is lightning round.
We will hit you up every single Friday. The US time for lightning round questions. All you got to do is tweet them at us at New Rockstars. Now, I'm going to read them out, fire them at my co-host that you directed them at. They have to answer them as quickly as possible. Otherwise, I will physically slap them. Not in the script.
That's how it works.
They
this
don't
week.
Know it. This is what's going to happen.
Oh my.
Alrighty, yeah, this one's quick. For Sam.
Yes.
It's from at CJ's alter ego.
Hi, CJ.
Says, explain to me why Cyclops' eyes don't burst from the pressure buildup of his concussive blasts. Furthermore, how does he see in general? The ruby quartz visor just blocks and stores concussive energy, which means he's firing at all times, right?
No. Nope. Right?
Nope, they're little portals that open to another dimension of crimson energy. And also, comic books.
Yeah. Okay. I withdraw my question.
Get up, yeah.
Eric, your yes. turn. At Truscorn.
Hi, Truscorn.
The Eye of Agamotto is a key artifact for Doctor Strange. Do you think it will be restored or charged after Avengers Endgame?
Oh, the Eye of Agamotto without the Time Stone? No, I don't think it will. I think its only purpose is to... I know in the comics it's a big deal, but I think in the MCU, the Eye of Agamotto is only a vessel or an encasement for the Time Stone. So I see no reason why. I see no reason why.
All right.
Overruled.
Well, at Cloudy One and Only said to me, who do you guys see dying in the next Star Wars film? Leia.
Oh,
yeah. It's sad, but you're right. That is the correct answer
it,
to that question.
Yeah, yeah, it's still sad.
It's sad. I don't want to be reminded of it.
I went way too logical and not enough empathy on
sometimes
that one.
Sometimes logic is the really saddest route. Yeah.
All right. We've got another one here. Sam, yeah. At Lane Tari... Oh, Lane... Lane... Nope. Lane Tar Real iDad 1. Says,
you nailed it.
Have Hawkeye and Bull's eye ever gone toe to toe in the comics?
Dude, all the time.
Oh, the eyeball?
Dude,
the eyeball.
All the time. Yeah, they always tie. Except for Hawkeye usually pulls one, a quick one over. Bull's
they
eye.
Always to eye. Yeah, Maud. Cool.
They have good aim.
Eric, you're up at the awesome Iron P. Says,
hey.
What's going to be an unexpected hit in 2019? Movie, TV show, game, whatever you can think of.
Unexpected hit in 2019...
is your face.
Dark Phoenix. I think we're going to love it.
Oh, really? Nah, mate.
Unexpected. Hey, unexpected.
Pressure got
hey,
to
new
you.
Mutants, huh?
Maud, yeah, yeah. At TomFire8 asks you, John Wick versus the Punisher, who wins? I'm going to say John Wick. That guy doesn't die. He had every deadly assassin in the earth after him. He's still alive.
Well, in the Punisher's mind, everyone is trying to kill him. So isn't that the same thing?
No, not at all, actually. Not at all. It's
wake
not.
Up screaming every
because
die,
all these assassins have bullets that he... It's like stormtroopers are after him, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Eric, I got another one for you. You ready? At GNOLL.
I don't know.
What do you think the world looks like through Vision's eyes? Analytics slash robotic like Jarvis or romantic slash supernatural because of the stone?
I think the stone is more Vision's personality because I think it looks confusing. I think everything looks sad. I bet he sees things like through the eyes of Dr. Manhattan, but a little bit more optimistically.
Is that because he wore a sweater on his shoulders?
Yes. Or he had to manifest a sweater on his shoulders.
He does. Yeah. Maybe a little rose-colored Vision because he's pink.
I think he knows how dumb we are.
Adam Tullis 93 says, if you had the choice to improve your eyes from one of three animal traits, zooming long distance, sight from eagles, night vision from owls, or greater color perception from mantis shrimp, which would you choose?
Can I get the one where I don't need glasses? Who has that one?
Owls, maybe?
Owls?
No, that's
owls.
Night vision.
I'll do it. I want the shrimp because I want to see 26 different colors.
I didn't know
obviously
shrimp
colors,
could see more colors than
pictures.
We could.
How many colors are there?
Huh? More?
Infinite.
They could see a lot more.
Infinite.
Hey, you don't even know, man.
You don't even know.
I got one last one from N_swap. Hey, Nathan. Who's a fictional character you just want to punch in the face? Ninam. That's all I'm saying. Cool. Let's move on.
Is that the co-captain?
Is this the Return of the Jedi? Yeah.
his lips were just always... moist. Uh-huh. His bottom lip was like slick. Sort of,
uh-huh. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all.
So Lando's co-pilot.
It's been a long
did
like,
me and survive Force Awakens? Did we ever get clarity
oh, yeah,
on
we
that?
We saw him, huh?
We saw him.
He was.
So a lot of pilots died in that replay.
Many
of,
pilots
of
died
Trench Run.
In order to bring us those movies.
Mm-hmm. Was he, yeah. He's Lord with Bothan. The Bothans now. Bothans? Who knows?
Bothan!
Well, now comes the time for our 15-second shout-out, where each of us has 15 seconds to shout-out, plug, or ramble about anything Sam?
Ooh, okay, so first episode hasn't come out yet, but David Tennant does a podcast with ... is the name of David Tennant's new podcast, and I want to listen to it, and I hope it's good.
You had 50.
Yeah, Eric, that was good. That was well in 15.
Thank you.
I'll jump in. Okay. I'm hosting a live comedy show every first Friday of the month called Darkest Timeline Comedy. I'm so excited. We're going to do a showcase of crazy nerd bits. You're going to see some familiar faces from this channel. Our first one, February 1st, Maud's going to be there. Philip's going to be there. Tommy Bechtold's going to be there. That and a bunch of my favorite comedians doing some of the craziest bits in the strangest universe. Be there. Acme NoHo in 8 p.m.
Yep. I want to give a shout out to Dobby. I'm reading the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows part two. And yeah.
Well, it's just one book, but you're reading the script the, for
it. If you want to, it's actually at the end of part one. I'm reading the book, and the way that he dies is so sad, and the funeral is just really hard. And it's just like, you know what? He fought slavery. You know, he actually became a free elf and he chose to help Harry. And it was a little bit obsessive, let's be honest here. But I just feel like he's a bit of an unsung hero, so I wanted to give him a shout out.
I think he's adequately sung. I was happy to see him go, and I hated that subplot in the books, and I'm frustrated that his character was in the movies at all.
So wait, do the witches and wizards have slaves?
Have slaves, and Hermione's an activist, creates spew to try to fight the use of elf slavery. It's a very noble thing, except for the fact that, you know, Rowling's analogy is that certain races of people are elves, if we're comparing this to the real world. I'm not crazy about some of Rowling's political beliefs, but whatever. Just, what are the goblins of Gringotts? They're bankers. They embody certain stereotypes of other races of things, and they're bankers, and they're greedy, and they're horrible people. Mm. Think about it too hard, and all of your favorite authors are monsters.
Interesting.
So,
someone once told me that every female adult in Harry Potter movie is basically destined to be in the kitchen. Well, they are. Molly and then Fleur in that book, she's making food for everyone. Uh-huh. When Harry and Ron and Hermione go off, who's cooking the food? That'd be Hermione.
Like, doesn't Harry see Ginny's value when she bakes him things? Isn't that part of her value? Hey, Hermione Granger becomes Minister of Magic in The Cursed Child.
We don't talk about The Cursed Child, though. I don't want to talk about it.
We could.
I don't want to finish
it. Oh, we could spend days talking about Cursed Child.
Hey, if we want to take digs, too, comics used to be super racist. But on that note, let's go ahead and move back to our trivia question.
Yay! Yeah.
All right, so I asked the question, what's your favorite line from The Living Tribunal from the comics? We all got one.
What's the question?
We've had the answer to this. Well, we've already had it. We've all had our favorite for decades. I'm very excited to go ahead and check out the answer here, but I'll reiterate the question before we read off each other's. The question is, what's your favorite quote from The Living Tribunal? A, we are an impossibility in an impossible universe.
It's not favorite quote. It's the only
what,
quote.
Yeah, what is something that
it's your favorite.
They actually said?
No, it's your favorite.
However, you
whatever the right answer is, it's your favorite.
But this is saying that someone's opinion is wrong, which is the thing that we fight against the most on the internet.
B, yes. Power is meaningless.
Oh, the answers. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I was just reiterating. Yeah. Should I not? Okay. B. B, power is meaningless beyond this level of existence. C, the universe is under no obligation to make sense to you. I was talking to me. And D, those who want to live, let them fight. And those who do not want to fight in this world of eternal struggle do not deserve to live. And that's a yikes for me. Now, the wrongest answer, you will have to draw a task or gesture from the GIF of Shame container and perform said task repeatedly while the winner gets to read the goodbyes and we chant shame at you, which is always a blast. Mm. So let's go
without
ahead.
Without getting triggered.
It's pretty cool because your stupidity gets turned into an animated GIF, which will blast out on our social media to punish you for your trivia ignorance. Mm. Now, for the audio listeners, you can just follow us on Twitter at New Rockstars to see what the heck we're talking about. So we reiterated the question. Let's go around. I'm going to read Maud's answer first.
I apologize about the picture that I drew. It really wasn't my best. I thought it would help the situation, but in hindsight, it doesn't look great.
You said B, power... B, you said power is meaningless beyond this level of existence.
Sure.
All right.
And Sam also said B.
And I drew a B.
You did draw a B.
Oh, you drew a B.
And you wrote, not my beast.
Yep.
Which would have been a way to save it, but you wrote best.
Sam did not draw a B.
I came up with the pun this time.
Oh, you're blossoming.
Okay, so Sam
Eric says,
says
C.
Yeah, the C.
Which
one.
Was the universe is under no obligation to make sense to you.
Pretty good, but gang buckle. up on your buckles because we have an answer here in 3, 2, go. It is B. Power is meaningless beyond this level of existence. That's from the Living Tribunal. We are an impossibility in an impossible universe is from Ray Bradbury. The universe is under no obligation to make sense to you is from Neil deGrasse Tyson. And those who want to live and then let them fight and then fight in the world like
don't settle
is from Adolf Hitler.
Oh.
That's why I gave those a few yikes throughout the show.
You recognized it.
No, but
you just knew that off the top of your head. Yeah, you did. You knew one wasn't attributed in the card.
So that was
but
a quick win for old modern Sam, and that means
I should have known. I just reread Infinity Gauntlet. It just sounds like something he would have said. Those were well-chosen quotes.
Those were good work. Everyone behind the camera appreciated. Now, Eric, what did you pick?
Well, I picked from the Gift of Shame bucket, cry whilst flossing.
Aww.
That now, probably means not that kind of flossing. They mean the Fortnite dance.
Yes.
Not specific to Fortnite.
I preferred actually flossing.
How about I do
team?
Both?
Okay.
Because I do cry while flossing because of gingivitis. Options.
Yes, lots of blood comes out of those teeth. Very cool. And while we do that, we'll go ahead and clear this way.
You know, I've been 27 a few times and I still don't have any cavities.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I had a bunch as a kid because I was a bad child, which is fun. Let's go ahead and read our goodbyes while Eric makes us proud.
Oh my.
All right, well, gang, God. you know the gist. Thank you for watching this week's episode of New Rock Stars Debrief.
Yeah, I want to thank our host, Sam Basher, the winner.
Thank you. Yes.
I also won, so I too am a winner. And Eric Voss is embarrassing himself completely. This is amazing. You can find him at EA Voss to be like, that's not how you floss, my man.
That is
I
not how you floss.
I understand why you're crying. Sam Basher's
I'm
at.
Doing it. I am doing it.
Sam Basher's at. Sam Basher, I'm at Maud Garrett. Two us, two T's.
EA Voss, more like EA Floss. A quick reminder that these are also available in audio and video form. Videos at youtube.com/newrockstars, and you can get the audio anywhere you get your podcast. But if you want, if you use the Himalaya app, you can actually leave comments on the episodes and support the show directly, which ain't that fun, gang. Big fan of that. Comment, tweet us at New Rock Stars, like this video or podcast, share it around, and subscribe to New Rock Stars for deep dives into the stuff that you love. He keeps doing this and not in front of
the
green screen.
Is that Elaine? Oh, that was the Elaine dance.
That is the Elaine dance.
I know what's up.
I
oh my gosh.
Up.
And I am now the more winner out of the two. So that'd be me winning completely. Thanks, Sam, for coming in second place. Someone had to come in silver, you know? You are the Silver Surfer.
Thank you. I am usually not number one. But hey, gang, we appreciate you and we'll see you next time.
Now what dance is it?
Bye-bye.
Bingo. You... Bye-bye.
That's Drunk Uncle at the Wedding.
Emo Peter.
I don't know Peter. I've never met Peter.
Emo Peter?
Emo Peter Parker?
Ah, yes.
Oh, wow.
Do a couple of these.
There it is. Now I know. Yes. Now I know.
You're welcome, podcast listeners.
I want to personally apologize.